Jason,
I hate doing your show.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
We are thrilled to have you.
Great to be with you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Whatever. You're weird. You're weird. Get off my back, Molly.
Get a Big Mac, Jason.
Okay. Molly said it best. I said fart in the bathtub. She said gross.
I love Matt Hamilton.
You are 1,000,000% right, Jim. That should be a drop, too.
Thank you.
Dynamite drop in, Rye Guy.
Thank you.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
What's up with that? Jim, Matt, Molly continues live from the Everlight Solar Studio. Jim Rutledge alongside Molly Brown. Got Primetime Warshawn behind the glass. Get into the show, 844-770-3776. That's Carbon Stock and Text Line. List is more. That's where Jason Wilde is joining us now. And Jason, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Happy to do it.
You sound like it. No, we had.
I've got some concerns about my gal Molly.
Oh God, what?
So you know
you've been popping off on socials. Maybe that's what he's talking about. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So
your guy Mike.
I think it's really important to be cautious about taking just a clip. Lord knows I've been victimized by it frequently on this show, taking a clip that you see on social media, you don't see the entirety of the conversation, and then judging the person who said it. So I don't like that done to me, so I'm not going to do it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to just ask you if you would like to revise your statement about Jeff Hafley coaching himself out of a head coaching job when he now has 3 head coaching requests.
That's great, and he should have some because I feel like he's been a candidate the last 2 years that he's been with the Packers. However, my stance was, and still is that he hasn't done enough with this defense without Micah Parsons. Like, this defense, if they didn't pick up Micah Parsons on the first day that the Badgers played in their first home game this season, they would not be a good defense. They would not be... They would be what they look like right now, and it would have been that way the entire season. That's where I'm coming from, is that this defense doesn't look good enough for me to be like, oh, I would hire him as my head coach. That's where I land on it. I'm curious what your thoughts are, because then in that clip, we proceeded to then talk about other coaches, and the two names that I talked about were Robert Saleh and Mike McCarthy, because I was saying, if I'm hiring a head coach, I would rather have a Mike McCarthy that has more – he's proven way more. He's won a Super Bowl. He's done more in the NFL versus what Jeff Hafley has done as the defensive coordinator for the Packers. And then also, we talked about Robert Saleh because we were also saying if we are picking a defensive-minded head coach, which I wouldn't want in the first place, but if we're going to have to pick one, I would pick Robert Saleh over Jeff Hafley because, again, he's more proven.
Proven?
Yeah.
The Jets were terrible during
It was
most
the Jets, and also, I think you know Aaron Rodgers better than anybody here on this show. He's probably not the most easy guy to work with, is what I'm assuming.
Yeah, but you just mentioned two guys that both worked with him as your candidates. Like, look, I love Mike McCarthy. He's a great human being. He's a very good football coach. You know what Mike McCarthy was before he won a Super Bowl and before he got the Packers job? He was unproven, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had coordinated the worst offense in the NFL. So I think we have to be a little bit careful with, this is what this defense has done since losing Micah Parsons. First of all, there is no excuse for how god-awful they were, even against a Hall of Fame running back, on December 27th. There's no two ways about it. I would say that until they lose Micah Parsons in game, and oh, by the way, also lose Christian Watson, thinking that he's going to be in the hospital because he did some sort of damage to his internal organs, the Packers were kicking the Broncos keisters, right? It was 23-14. They throw that deep ball. If Jordan Love throws that 2 yards farther instead of under throws it, it's not intercepted by Patrick Surtain, it's a touchdown. And suddenly now they're up 30-14 on a team that had won 10 in a row. I don't know if at some other point there's a non-contact injury for Micah Parsons, but obviously the complexion of that game also changes all on that one play. I don't think we can take anything from the Vikings game unless you want to say, hey, he's such a good coach that he had a bunch of backups who held the Vikings to 16 points, if you want to look at it from that perspective. So what is this boiling down to? The fact that in the final, like, minute after the onside kick that they gave up a touchdown where he dialed up the perfect blitz package and somebody didn't cover a guy? Like, if one of those two, and I think it's Nixon, but no one would say whether it was Nixon or Hobbs, but if just one of those guys goes with Hunter, the way that Caleb throws that ball, it's more likely intercepted than a game-tying touchdown. So did he coach really that poorly in that game without Micah Parsons?
No.
That was the first game after Micah Parsons got hurt, right?
But you can make a case in that game nobody had film on what that defense was going to look like, and now they have an idea of it, and they know how to attack it.
Come on.
My thing with Halfley is...
one game with their frontline guys on defense. One game,
so,
if you're going to use that as the caveat.
So my thing with Halfley is, one, I think Packer fans are in love with him because he talks the way the Packer fans want him to talk, and he's not... he looks like a football guy, and he's not handsome like LaFleur, and he says football things. I have, and I'll fully admit, an abject bias against defensive coaches because best case scenario... they do a really good job, and they hire all these assistants. And you can ask Mike Vrabel about this when you talk about Matt LaFleur, and they get plucked, and you have to replace your offensive coordinator year over year over year or every couple of years. Or you're really bad on offense, and you have to replace your offensive coordinator. Quarterback and offense is still the most important thing, and it is, for me, a harder needle to thread to find a defensive coach who can build a staff, then continue to rebuild an offensive staff and build a consistent winner. I think they're getting harder and harder to find. So if I'm a fan of an NFL team,
what?
I want no part of hiring any defensive guy.
Guess what?
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yes.
I agree with everything you said. That's not what Molly said.
No. I'm just changing the subject a little bit. I'm just bringing it to, like, that's what I was getting to with Halfley.
You don't need to protect her.
Oh, I wasn't.
I don't need protecting.
I was just trying to move it. I was trying to move it.
Jason, I guess my mind goes to, you gave up 41 points to a team that didn't even make the playoffs. You had no, Jason. Going into that game, we knew that the Packers were playing against a backup quarterback in Huntley, and we knew that they had Derrick Henry. So what were they prepared for? Because clearly it wasn't to stop the run, and that lands on coaching. Does it not?
Are you sure that? Now wait a minute.
And also, Rashawn Gary has not performed up to his I don't know what his potential is at this point. Rashawn Gary's not good. Keyshawn Nixon, not good at what he's doing. Nate Hobbs, don't even know what the hell Brian Gutekunst was thinking.
I feel like this has got, you're a little emotional in your assessment here, don't you think?
I am emotional, but that's what it is to be a fan.
Like, he also caught a game clenching touchdown or interception in the other game.
He
like,
did. So that's great. But there's also been many times throughout the season that he's been burned. And if you're going to claim that you're going to be cornerback one and not return kicks anymore, then be CB1.
All right. So first of all, he can claim he's CB1 all he wants. We know that he is not at this point, and probably never will be, he's not Patrick Surtain.
Right.
Like, we know he's not one of the best corners in the league. But I don't think you'd have to check the Pro Football Focus ratings. I would guess he's somewhere in the middle of the pack among corners, right? Because he has had good games this season, right? Now, are we going to reduce the quality of his good games because they were with Micah Parsons on the field? Like, look, here's
Micah Parsons made him look better, just like he made everybody else on this defense look better. You can agree?
No, I can't, because he made Rashawn Gary look better for like 3 weeks. And then he couldn't. Apparently, there are limitations to who he can make look better.
What? Didn't he have 6.5 sacks? His last sack was against the Steelers.
Sacks. Yeah, he had 4.5 sacks in the first three games.
Okay.
Then he had 2 sacks against Aaron Rodgers in like late October. And he didn't do anything after that. And Micah Parsons was still on the field until December 14th. So, again, my point is simply, there are a lot of layers to hiring a head coach and whether or not someone is deserving or not, if we were applying this, what would you have said about Mike McCarthy, who coordinated the 32nd ranked offense in the NFL when the Packers hired him? Okay. It doesn't matter. Like, I would just argue that you're hiring the person. You're not hiring the defense that is coming along with Jeff Hafley. Like, you're not hiring him because, oh, we were 11th in scoring defense, right? Like, yes, that is part of the resume. But what you're really hiring is a guy that, in Ben Johnson, for example, the Bears hired him. Yeah, the stats were certainly in his favor, right? But that's not, they didn't hire him just because their offense was productive. They hired him because they thought he was the guy that could elevate Caleb Williams and that he was the type of coach that they wanted. And Jeff Hafley may not be anybody's type of head coach. Like, I agree with Jim wholeheartedly. I don't like the idea of a defensive-minded head coach. I think they fail more often than they succeed. So, you know, I just thought that to say that he hasn't coached them well enough since they lost Micah Parsons, and he's coached himself out of a head coaching job, I just fundamentally disagree with that.
Is this a big game for him then? If Caleb and the Bears come out and let's say they do light up the Packers, and they do, like, let's say we do what the Packers did to Dallas, do you think that negatively affects Hafley, or do you think it's more about who he is?
Yes, because your last impression is always the one that people stick with, right? I mean, think about the Packers and Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, right? 2 years ago, they go out and they give they beat the pants off of Mike McCarthy's Cowboys, and then for three quarters, they have the lead, right? For most of that game.
Yep.
And then they lose to a team that goes to the Super Bowl in the 49ers. What was the narrative all offseason going into the 2024 season? What a team on the rise, and what a great job by Matt LaFleur to get his first-year starter to where he played so well in the playoffs. And God, Jordan Love's going to be an MVP next year. And then when they got spanked 22-10 and they turned the ball over four times against the Eagles, who, by the way, went on to win the Super Bowl, what was the narrative all offseason? Well, they can't. They got to get something fixed with their offense. And what's the, you know, was Love just injured? Or what was the deal with him? Because he wasn't very productive. Now here we sit. If they lose to the Bears, there are a lot of people with a lot at stake here, right? Like, I heard Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I heard him on Pat McAfee. You know, he makes it sound like Matt LaFleur's got nothing to worry about. I don't know, man. Like, I don't – none of us knows what Ed Policy is thinking, so I'm not even going to guess. All I would say is if you lose to the Bears twice in, like, a 35-day span and they end your season – and you don't play well in that game and you lose tomorrow night, that puts a microscope on everybody. That puts it on the quarterback. That puts it on the head coach. It puts it on the defensive coordinator. It puts it on the rest of the offensive staff. There's something about the way this season has gone that makes me think it's going to be not quite to the level of the Buccaneers with Todd Bowles basically having to clean house with his staff. But I think there's going to be some changes of some sort. So, I don't know what those are going to be, but this is an enormous game for more than just, oh, you want to advance, and in the Packers' case, play the Seahawks next week.
Jason, awesome stuff. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good night. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
What vanity plate should I switch to? I like this one from PPLIKME, but I think that's one too many letters. And is that People Lick Me? It's L I K.
That looks like People Lick.
I mean, it's not the worst play they have. People Lick Me.
Having that It is one too many letters.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.